Great Apes Ghost! Today on Star Queen Paranormal, Abraham Lincoln. Was he into the paranormal? Does his ghost still haunt the White House? Find out more today on Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
Sometimes things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre.
The everyday that makes you say, hey!
This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal.
Howdy, Stardusties. This is your ringmaster of remote viewing, your president of the poltergeists, countess of the cryptids, enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary. And that voice you heard calling your name as you drifted off to sleep. I am your deepest, darkest nightmare, Exy. And a quick reminder, we're not trying to convince anyone that any of this is real. Believe if you want. Life requires a healthy dose of skepticism. Our goal is to present information for you to formulate your own opinions and ideas on some of the more curious subjects of our reality. Not to change your mind, but to broaden it. To present the idea. Welcome, 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 my little Stardusties, to the very 11th episode of Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal. I can't believe you've hung on for 11 whole episodes of this. Well, you can't see my arms, but I am gesturing grandly. The gesture is very grand. The grandest of gestures, really. I'm really sad that you're missing this, actually. Before I pretend like I have anything important to say, let me tell you some stuff on the number 11. According to angelnumbersmeaning.com, the angel number 11 is considered to be the gateway to enlightenment. It represents changes in the metaphysical. The number 11 also represents our intuition. According to rumors, seeing 1111 on a clock signifies a time when the universe is listening to you. You're meant to manifest at this special time. Another source indicates that 1111, the time on the clock, signifies that you are becoming aware of and alerted to the existence of your energetic counterpart, your divine mirror, or your twin flame. And now it's time for a little segment I call Terrible Tarot!
It's Terrible Tarot!
New listeners may wonder, why is it so terrible? Well, it's just a short little segment, and these are readings you probably wouldn't pay me for. However, if you would like to pay me for them, you can check out my Patreon, where I give slightly less terrible tarot readings, now on video. And I know I said last week it would be weekly, might be bi-weekly, but just something extra for my Patreon peeps, because I loves ya, and I loves the money.
Drop the money, drop the money.
Khajiit has wares if you have coin. It's patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal. And I am shuffling terribly because it's terrible tarot. Woo, terrible. Now that I have thoroughly and terribly shuffled, your cards for today are the Ten of Wands, the Emperor, and the Knight of Wands. Lots of creative energy here. Lots of fire energy. And your reading for today, you've been working really hard and really stressing out and really just putting in a lot of effort. And you've kind of gotten yourself into a comfortable place where you're proud of yourself and you're happy. A nice balanced life. But the cards are sensing a little bit of creative energy that you're not really using. So the advice from this reading is to stop holding back from who you are, from maybe something you're not expressing, Maybe you've got art projects that you've started and you've just left lying around the house. The cards are saying, put that creative energy to use. Go do the things. And that was terrible. Today's quote from whatever I feel like quoting. We are all stories in the end. Just make it a good one, eh? And that was The Doctor from Doctor Who, as portrayed by Matt Smith in that particular episode. I really wanted to find an Abraham Lincoln quote, because today's episode is about Abraham Lincoln, but it seems that many of the Lincoln quotes that you can find online were not actually said by Abraham Lincoln. Lies! The internet is full of lies! So just to be safe, I quoted a Doctor Who episode, because I've seen the episode enough times to know that the Doctor actually said it. So, you know those movies about giant things? You know what I'm talking about. Night of the Lepus with the giant bunnies. Giant spider invasion! Those really cool B-movies. Well, in today's bizarre headline, giant land snails! Arguably, the giant African land snails are not as cool as the B-movie giant things. But according to CNN, on July 3rd, 2022, Pascal County in Florida went into quarantine after the Florida Department of Agriculture confirmed a sighting of giant African land snails. The snails pose a health risk to humans because they carry a parasite called rat lungworm, which can cause meningitis. Officials believe that someone had or was trading illegal exotic pets, and that either the snails were discarded or lost, but they made their way to the wild, which is one of the reasons why they had a ban on giant African land snails. Anyway, the Department of Agriculture is determining how many of these snails are in the wild in Pascal County. Giant African land snails are native to East Africa and can grow up to 8 inches long. Beware the terror of the giant snails! No, really. You could catch meningitis if you touch them. So don't touch them. So today's quick story is from the Missing 411 Reddit. From user CFH10100. This user and his girlfriend went hiking and camping in the Chisos Mountains off the Kalama Trail. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing things correctly. And they set up camp for the night and put all their scented stuff in their bear box. But basically, this user kept waking up and hearing something on two legs circling around the tent. And every time the user would go outside to see what this two-legged creature was, there wouldn't be anything in the area. But he would wait until the two-legged thing sneaking around would be like right outside their tent and then pop out and still saw nothing. And at several points, the girlfriend would also wake up and hear whatever this... Now, they're not at a campsite. They're off of a path, so there shouldn't be other hikers too close by. But at some point, they both get a little weird about whatever it is circling around their camp. So they say at about 4 a.m, they pack up their stuff and they just head up the mountain. Again, they're not sure if it's a bear or if it's other hikers. It's something with two legs kind of taunting them. Well, this user says that they could hear it following them when they were heading up the trail. It's about 4 a.m, so they've got their flashlights. They can't see very well. And the user says, while traveling down the switchbacks on one occurrence, as I looked back up before continuing to travel down the mountain, I saw a face enter the light of my headlamp 30 meters away, as if it were hunched over slash leaning, and only wanted its face to be visible. It appeared gray slash opaque, pale, white-skinned, with human-like characteristics. The face was young, no wrinkles, with feminine features, head only. About 4.5 to 5.5 feet off the ground, narrow jawline, sharp facial features, no blemishes, thin lips, and the eyes were all black. There were no whites of the eyes. No facial hair, no hair that I could see, no eyebrows. And it slowly smiled at me, kind of maliciously, as it came into the light, taunting, as if it wanted me to see it and maybe chase it. The grayness could have come from the light or my imagination, as my blood is flooded with adrenaline at this point, and all I want is to get my girlfriend back to safety. Throughout the 4.5-mile travel back to headquarters, we were followed for 4 miles. Whatever it was stopped following us as the sun began to rise. This user also says that he caught what sounded like a conversation on a couple of occasions while they were being followed. So he believes that they were being followed by more than one person or thing or whatever this was. Again, that was in the Missing 411 Reddit by user CFH10100, and it was posted about a year ago. I'm tired of Earth. These people. I'm tired of being caught in the tangle of their lives. So I'm about to go be broody and pensive on Mars for a bit. Be right back.
Hey, Sasha.
Hey, Courtney.
Where can you find ghosts, cryptids, and things that go bump in the night with a hefty dose of sass and dad jokes?
I don't know. Where?
On our podcast, Spoop Hour.
Spoop Hour is a paranormal comedy podcast hosted by two Halloweenies and longtime friends who share a fear of literally everything.
Join us every other week as we explore spooky folklore, ghost stories, and more, all while cracking jokes, yelling about the patriarchy, and nervously laughing through the fear.
You can find Spoop Hour on all podcatchers, we think, and on Twitter and Instagram at Spoop Hour.
Let's get spoopy!
And we're back. Check out Sasha and Courtney at Spoop Hour. They cover the paranormal too, except they're funnier.
So long as I live and breathe, I swear there is not a funny bone in my body. Dead serious. Star Queen Paranormal is dead serious.
No, we enjoy paranormal comedy around here. Because you can't take things too seriously. That's how you stay up with night baskets. So without further ado, I present to you Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president and served from 1861 until his untimely assassination in 1865. Lincoln is best known for leading the nation through the American Civil War, preserving the Union, abolishing slavery, bolstering the federal government, and modernizing the U.S. economy. But the 16th president's life was steeped in strange synchronicities and an interest in the paranormal. In fact, when an article was being written about his interest and beliefs in psychics and spiritualism, the Cleveland Plain Dealer asked if Lincoln would prefer to deny these claims. On the contrary, Lincoln is quoted as saying, "The only falsehood in the statement is that half of it has not been told. The article does not begin to tell half of the things I have witnessed." But spiritualism, psychics, and communicating with spirits was especially of interest to people during this era, particularly around the Civil War, as clinging to the idea of talking to your deceased loved ones was a great source of comfort during this time period. Abraham Lincoln's mother died when he was very young. His first love interest, Anne Rutledge, passed away in 1835. Lincoln became engaged to Mary Todd in 1840. After postponing and canceling the marriage, the pair finally reconciled. When Abraham was anxiously pacing before his nuptials, someone reportedly asked Abraham where he was going, to which he replied, "To hell, I suppose." Abraham and Mary went on to have 4 sons. The second son, Edward Baker Lincoln, born 1846, died in February 1850 at the age of 4. The third son, Willie Lincoln, was born December 1850, that same year, and passed away of a fever at the White House in 1862. The fourth son, Tad, outlived Abraham Lincoln, but did eventually pass away at the young age of 18. The first son, the oldest son, Robert Todd Lincoln, born in 1843, recalled an incident in which he was at a train station in Jersey City, New Jersey. He was on holiday break from Harvard, traveling from New York City to Washington, D.C. He was awaiting his train on a crowded platform when he said he was squished against the train. The train began to move, and he started to slip in between the gap and the train. Robert was sure this was the end. He was sure he was going to get caught up under the train. When suddenly, a mysterious savior grabbed him by the collar at the last second. He lifted him to a secure footing on the platform. The mysterious savior in question? Edwin Booth. Not only had this incident occurred only years before the assassination, but Robert Todd was saved by Edwin Booth, the older brother of John Wilkes Booth, who was a bit of a celebrity at the time. Robert Todd, of course, was the only son of Lincoln's to reach maturity. According to WhiteHouse.org, it is estimated that Mary Todd hosted at least 8 seances in the Red Room of the White House, and that Abraham Lincoln attended at least a few of them. Many believed she hosted these seances in hopes to reach Willie, their 11-year-old who passed away at the White House. Mary Todd once told her half-sister, "Willie lives. He comes to me every night and stands at the foot of my bed with the same sweet, adorable smile that he always has had. He does not always come alone. Little Eddie is sometimes with him." Little Eddie, of course, being the second son who passed away in 1850, who was about 4 at the time. In Springfield, 1860, just after Lincoln had been elected, he caught his reflection in a mirror. Half of him was lively and healthy. The other half was ethereal and pale. He reportedly took this as an omen that he would survive his first term, but would die before finishing his second term. It is reported that Lincoln was so fatalistic, in fact, that he would often mutter under his breath that he would meet some terrible end, and he would often compare his predicted demise to Julius Caesar, having been killed because of laws that were beyond his control. John Wilkes Booth would later compare himself to a modern-day Brutus slaying an American Caesar. Even the Emancipation Proclamation is rumored to have been encouraged by a seance. Nettie Colburn Maynard, the medium, recalled that in 1862, she lost consciousness while channeling Daniel Webster, who spoke to Abraham Lincoln for over an hour. The ghost of Daniel Webster assured Lincoln that the Emancipation Proclamation, which Lincoln had already written but had not signed, well, the ghost of Daniel Webster assured him that it would be the crowning event of his administration and life, and that Lincoln needed to stand firm against his dissenters. According to Ward Hill Lamon, a few days before his assassination, President Lincoln relayed a dream in which he heard sobbing. "I soon began to dream. There seemed to be a death-like stillness about me. Then I heard subdued sobs, as if a number of people were weeping. I thought I left my bed and wandered downstairs. There the silence was broken by the same pitiful sobbing, but the mourners were invisible. I went from room to room. No living person was in sight, but the same mournful sounds of distress met me as I passed along. It was light in all the rooms. Every object was familiar to me, but where were all the people who were grieving as if their hearts would break? I was puzzled and alarmed. What could be the meaning of all this? Determined to find the cause of a state of things so mysterious and was so shocking, I kept on until I arrived at the East Room, which I entered. There I met with a sickening surprise. Before me was a catafalque, on which rested a corpse wrapped in funeral vestments. Around it were stationed soldiers who were acting as guards, and there was a throng of people, some gazing mournfully upon the corpse, whose face was covered, others weeping pitifully. 'Who is the dead in the White House?' I demanded of one of the soldiers. 'The president,' was his answer. 'He was killed by an assassin. There came a loud burst of grief from the crowd, which awoke me from my dream. I slept no more that night. But when other people spoke to Lincoln about this dream, he insisted that he was not the president in the dream, even though the face of the president he saw was covered. What's interesting about Lincoln not thinking he was the president in his dream is that John F. Kennedy was placed in the East Room after he was assassinated, the same room in which Lincoln saw the president in his dream. The morning of his assassination, Lincoln told his cabinet of a dream in which he was sailing across an unknown body of water at great speed toward an endless shore. Lincoln spoke of this dream with excitement because it's the same dream he had at every major turning point of the war. So he had the same dream before Fort Sumter, the Battle of Bull Run, Antietam, before the Battle of Gettysburg, before Stone River, before Vicksburg, and Wilmington. That morning, he also told his wife, Mary, that he was truly happy. After months of being kind of haggard and stressed out, he randomly decided to tell Mary that he was truly happy. And Mary kind of got a bad feeling when he told her this. But did Lincoln know that the turning point prophesized by his dream would be his own demise? The evening of the assassination, the story goes that Mary was suffering from a horrible headache and wanted to stay home. Lincoln convinced her to go, as the newspapers already wrote that he'd be in attendance. Lincoln's footman, William H. Crook, advised him not to go, but Lincoln reportedly told him that he had already promised the wife. And while helping Mary into the carriage that night, Lincoln reportedly told Schuyler Colfax, "I suppose it's time to go, though I would rather stay." During the play, witnesses reported seeing Mary pointing out details on stage and seemed to take great pleasure in witnessing Abraham's enjoyment. The couple reportedly held hands and smiled the whole time. At 10:15 p.m., the line that was spoken was, "Well, I guess I know enough to turn you inside out, old gal, you sock-dologizing old man-trap!" Lincoln let out a hearty laugh, and Booth let out that fatal shot. Lincoln passed away at 7:22 a.m. April 15th at the house of Taylor William Peterson. But was death truly the end for our 16th president? Rumors of Lincoln's ghost haunting the White House spread far and wide, but were quickly denied by the government. In the 1880s, a photographer named William Mumler claimed to be able to capture spirits on camera. A Mrs. Tyndall arrived, heavily cloaked, in widow's veils and mourning clothes. She had her picture taken, and before Mrs. Tyndall could claim her photo, another customer shouted, "Why, that looks like President Lincoln!" That's when Mrs. Tyndall confessed to be Mary Todd in disguise, knowing and expecting Mumler's photography to be a fraud, especially expecting to be scammed if she were recognized. Hence the heavily veiled widow's costume. The picture from Mumler's spirit photography experiment can be seen on the Smithsonian.org website. The picture also supposedly has a ghostly image of Willie, but I couldn't see anything other than the supposed specter of President Lincoln when I researched this. Lincoln's tall apparition has been reported in the Yellow Oval Room and the Lincoln Bedroom. First Lady Grace Coolidge, Winston Churchill, and many visitors have all claimed to see the 6'4" specter. During Grant's administration, the ghost of Willie was reported to have materialized before several people who worked in the household, Willie being the son that passed away at age 11. Theodore Roosevelt spoke of feeling Abraham Lincoln's presence. During FDR's administration, a woman claimed to have seen Lincoln in the room that was once Lincoln's bedroom. The Lincoln bedroom has been used frequently for guests because it is the most impressive. Another story says that Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands stayed in the Lincoln Room and complained of constant knocking throughout the night, followed by footsteps, only for her to open the door and see an empty hallway. Harry Truman's daughter, Margaret, had a bedroom in the same area of the White House, and she complained of the same things. Knocking, footsteps, and nobody there. The room in which Willie died is also said to be haunted. LBJ's daughter, Linda, stayed in that room. She claimed to have a lot of trouble sleeping in this room. She would also hear footsteps, and her phone would frequently ring. When she would pick up the phone, an exasperated operator would be on the other end, telling Linda that she did not ring her. So, Stardusties, do you think President Abraham Lincoln was psychic? Do you believe he's still there haunting the White House? Are his children still haunting the White House? Do you believe he had a profound interest in the paranormal? Do you have a profound interest in the paranormal? Do you have a story to tell? Because I'd love to hear your stories, little Stardusties. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Look for us at Star Queen Paranormal at Facebook and Star Queen Paranormal on Instagram. Laugh at how embarrassing Exy is at StarQueen_Paranormal on TikTok. Drop the money at patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal, where for as little as a dollar, you can access exclusive content, all while encouraging whatever this behavior is within myself. So, Stardusties, always remember that the hardest part of every journey is the first step. Never forget that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.